Certainly is good to see everyone today. It's good to be back with you. I want to invite you back tonight at 5:30 as we will talk about things that hinder our decisions. And that will play into what we're going to talk about this morning in connection with what we studied in our devotionals this past week. So things that could hinder our decisions. I hope you can be back with us tonight as we talk about those things. Thinking about decisions, how do you make big decisions? How do you make big, important decisions? What process do you go through? I know I have a specific process that usually revolves around calling my dad and saying, "What should I do?" That's usually a lot of times the way mine end up, because I don't think I'm smart enough half the time to make the right decision. So a lot of times I call him. But what's the process you go through? Is it quick? Is it slow? Some people can make really quick decisions. Some people like to think on it. People like me need to seek advice. Some people just go with what their gut thinks. Making big decisions. This morning we're going to look at an example of a big decision that was made that doesn't always work out, didn't always work out like it needed to. Turn over to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. What you have here is Abram has been told by God to move. And when he obeyed God and moved, his nephew Lot went with him. As we get into chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the Negev. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold, and he journeyed on from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. And Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land." So, you've got Abram, who's doing what God said. He told him to move. He told him he needed to go to another place. And Lot chose to go with him. The problem is that they both have stuff. They both have a lot of stuff. And they have a lot of people. And they don't always see eye to eye. You got two sets of livestock. Who gets the best part of the land to eat off of? Who gets to the water first? Who gets the best of whatever? The best place to rest? You can see where conflict might arise. And so Lot's people and Abram's people began to argue. They began to fuss. They began to complain amongst each other about what they were traveling and what they were doing. And so you've got this conflict. Verse 8. "Abram said to Lot, 'Let there be no strife between you and me and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is it not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If you take the right hand, then I will go to the left.'" So Abram decides this is ridiculous. There's no reason for us to argue. There's no reason for us to fuss. God has called us out here to move. The whole land is before us. You choose one direction, and I'll go the other. Very simple. There needs to be no strife, no argument, no problem between us. You just choose. You just make a decision on which way you want to go. So Lot has the choice. He has the big decision before him. Because it says here, Lot had quite a bit of stuff too. He had herdsmen. He had flocks. He had people with him as well. So Lot has a choice to make. It's a big decision. Which way am I going to go? Verse 10. "And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. I think it's interesting. As we read about Lot's choice, there's a couple of things that we don't see present. What we do see is that Lot just lifted up his eyes and he found what looked like the best way to go. The land with the water, the land with the best looking terrain, the best area to go to. That's where I'm going. Would we not do the same thing? If you're making the decision, Abram gives you the choice, lets you choose first, what are you going to do? You going to look for the worst possible place to go? Are you going to look for the least desirable land? Lot made this decision based on what he saw. Now, maybe, perhaps, Lot should have deferred to Abraham. Abraham is the oldest, right? He is the one that should have been given respect in this scenario. Perhaps even more, Lot should have asked God, which direction should I go? Which way should I take my people? What's best for me? But Lot just said, that looks like the best. That's where I'm going. So, verse 12, Abraham settled in the land of Canaan while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. So here we go. What we already know, because we know a lot of this story, a lot of things have been mentioned here that when you say those names, we know it means wickedness. We know it means evil. But Lot just looked at the land. It looks good. What I see with my eyes, my gut tells me that's the way I should go, so I'm going that way. Abram, you get what's left. What happens with this decision? It's a quick decision. But there's a whole lot more involved here than just, that's good land. So let's look at the results of Lot's decision. First off, if you go into chapter 14, what you have is a story of kings who decide to go to war. And these set of kings get together and they say, well, we're going to go to war with this other set of kings. And so they do. They go to war with one another. And if you look down at verse 11 of chapter 14, it says, so the enemy took all the possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom, and his possessions, and went their way. So, one chapter removed. Lot makes his choice. Man, that's good looking land right there. That's where I'm taking my stuff. As soon as he gets there, what happens? You have this battle, this war of the kings. And where he went, that side lost. And he gets taken captive. He gets taken away, and all his possessions get taken captive. And so now, this great, beautiful land that he chose, he's not even in possession of his stuff anymore. He's not even in control of his own life anymore. What happens next, you see in verse 13, then one who had escaped came, told Abram the Hebrew, who was living by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and of Aner. These were allies of Abram. When Abram heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, he led forth his trained men, born in his house, 318 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan, and he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Then he brought back all the possessions and also brought back his kinsman Lot with his possessions and the women and the people. Had to be rescued by Abram. Abram took his men and went to these kings who had just fought against one another and overcome them. Abraham takes his men and defeats them and saves Lot and saves his family and gets back all his possessions. But then, If that's not enough to tell Lot, maybe that wasn't the best decision, you get into the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. What happens in chapter 15 is you have this discussion with God and Abram. You have this discussion about, you know, God makes this covenant with Abram. But as we turn on a couple more chapters and we get over into the story in Genesis 19, you have the story of God having to rescue Lot himself. What happens is we know that Sodom and Gomorrah was an evil place. Abram, previously, in the previous chapter, had been begging God, don't destroy them. Maybe there's a few righteous people. What if there's just 10 righteous people? What if there's just 5 righteous people? Someone needs to be saved. God was ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abram begged, pleaded with God. Man, if there's somebody righteous, we need to save those people. So God sends 2 angels to Sodom. They come to Lot's house. The people of Sodom come and rush to Lot's house because they have 2 new strangers and they want them. They want to bring them out in the streets. Lot offers his daughters instead. The next day, they tell Lot to take his family and get out of there. God's going to destroy this place. We know the story also well of what happens. You start in verse 23, God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. They are no more. But we also know that as a result of this, Lot will lose his wife. There was one command, there was one message that they were told. When you leave this place, do not turn back. Do not look back. And his wife did, and she became a pillar of salt. I wonder at this point in Lot's life how good that land looked. How important was the water? How important was all the physical things he saw with his eyes that made that the way to go? What do we learn from the story of Lot? What do we take away from the message that we see here today? I think one of the largest lessons that we learn here, if Lot could do it over again, would you not consult him? Hey, maybe you should talk to God first. Maybe you should go to God in prayer and think about what this decision is going to mean. This is a huge decision. How big was this decision? He was held captive. He lost his wife. All from a decision where he said, choose left, choose right, you look, you go. And as a result of his decision, these are the things that he lived with. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Consult God. We'll all be faced with big decisions in our life. We all have decisions to make. But it's important to give God the opportunity to work in our lives. To bring our decisions before Him. Trust in Him. Do not lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge Him and what? He will make your path straight. Sometimes we know where we want to go. Right? Sometimes we know what we want in the end. But the journey to get there may be difficult. The journey to get there in our lives, God may bring us some interesting things to deal with. Or some interesting things may happen to us as a result of our decisions. But who should we turn to for understanding? It's God. We should seek Him. We should seek His counsel because He can make way, make straight our paths. Sometimes we don't know what to do. Sometimes the decision may be so great that we just don't know the right answer. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." What does that tell us? We don't know. If we're concerned, if we're confused, where should we turn? Who wants to hear from us? What is this telling us? God wants to hear from us. God wants those decisions to be brought to Him. He wants to speak in our lives. He wants to live in our lives. He wants to be a part of our decision making. And He wants to help us. If any of us lack wisdom, if any of us just don't know, turn it over to God and allow Him, through His Word, through our prayers to Him, through our understanding and through the Holy Spirit working in our lives, to know the direction we should go. Because He wants to help. Psalm chapter 32, in verse 8. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go." You ever been lost? I mean, you ever been just good and lost? I have. I'm not afraid to admit it. I've been really lost. You should never put me in a subway. That doesn't work out too good. Especially the New York subway. Didn't really work out too good. You spend 3 hours under the city of New York trying to figure out where to go. You get kind of tired and you get kind of lost. You don't know where you're going. To the point you get so frustrated you just get above ground so you can see something. You know, we were so lost that there was a police officer that was walking through the subway and he just looked at us. And I think he just knew, these people don't belong here. He don't know where he's going. I didn't. I was lost. Had no clue where I was. How many times in life can we be in that same spot? We just know what we want. We just know what's best. We just know what's right. We know where to go. We know what to do. And then things take a turn. Or they just don't work out like we anticipated. Or it just seems like it's taking too long to get there. What do we need to do? What should Lot have done? I mean, that land looked great. It was beautiful. It was the best place to take his livestock. Look at it. I mean, where else should I go? Man, it's just a perfect place. But what happened after he got there? "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." Who knows what's best for us? God does. One other thing I would submit that Lot should have done, I kind of already alluded to it. Proverbs 15 and verse 22 says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." You know, I think Lot, maybe he should have deferred to Abraham on this. Maybe he should have said, "I think you should choose first." Or at least have said, "Which way do you think I should go?" With many counselors, with many advisors, we can succeed. We need to seek out people in our life who are godly and who have good evidence in their life of who they are, and seek their help as well. That's one way that God can lead us. Obviously, each of us today can say that Lot made the wrong choice. He should have chose differently. I don't know what the difference would have been had Abram gone one way or the other. But Abram was in a different position, wasn't he? His relationship with God was very different. And he stayed true to God and rescued Lot on more than one occasion here. But Lot's decision, based on what he saw, turned out bad for him. Why is it so important to consult God? Why is it so important that we consult God first? He created us. When we look at the beauty of our world around us, that's God. God made that. When you look at the power of storms and you see the majesty of the power of God, you can't help but understand asking Him can't hurt us. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And as we've read this morning, He wants to be a part of our life. He's our Creator. He's our Sustainer. And He knows exactly what we need. We'll face big decisions in our lives. The question will be, how will we make them? What will we do with them? And who will we consult? The biggest decision we could ever make is the decision to obey the gospel. To be one of His. To be a Christian. It's the greatest decision anyone can make. Because it's the decision that puts us in position to live with Him forever. And the position that no matter what happens to us here, no matter where we get off track, no matter if our life always is what we want, if we stay faithful to Him, if we give ourselves to Him, in the end we will end up where we want to be. God never promised us that everything would always work out the way we want it. He never promised that, did He? Never promised that we'd get everything in life that we want. But He did promise that if we obey His gospel, that in the end, we will be with Him, which is far much better. If you're here this morning, you've never named the name of Christ, I want to encourage you to do so. Believe the message of Jesus. Repent of your sins. Confess that He is the Son of God and be buried with Him in baptism. Having your sins washed away. Being one of His. Being on course to live with Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you've wandered away. Maybe the world has crept in and caused you not to consult God. Caused you not to look for Him or to care for Him. Understand that He's here. Arms outstretched, ready to welcome us back and forgive any sins we may have. So if you're here this morning, you have a need, the great decision before you is, what will you do with Jesus? If you have a need, won't you come as we stand and sing?
We'll follow Jesus.